All right, praise the Lord, everybody. Come on in. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Come on in. This is Campbell Ministries Live. This is the Charity Christian Church, located at the Charity Church Complex at 120 Cedar Lane in Jackson, Mississippi. I am Apostle Dr. Amina Campbell Jackson, and you are welcome. Come on in. Give us a few seconds. Let everybody join. And we'll begin with a word of prayer. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We're listening to the instrumental version of Milton Bronson's I'm Available to You. Are we available to God, saints? Have you given him an empty cup to fill up with him? Glory to God. Have you surrendered your life to him? Have you made yourself available to everything else, or have you made yourself available to him? Come on in the room. Be sure to like and share and subscribe to the broadcast. Thank God for those who consistently listen from all over the world, literally. When I looked at the month of March, I saw people in Australia and Sweden and Africa, Canada, and of course these United States, and we are so grateful for you. So grateful for your consistency. So please share. Share the message. Glory to God. Amen. We won't prolong the time. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God. Thank you, God, for what you've already done in our lives. Thank you, God, for how you come to see about us. Thank you, God, for how we are on your mind and we are important to you. You are married to the church. The church is your bride. And so, God, we thank you that you saw fit to save wretches like us. God, we repent now for anything that we've said or done that's not like you. God, we turn from our wicked ways and we turn unto you because we know that we cannot do this thing called life without you. God, we honor you. We praise you. We give you glory now for what you've done and for what you're getting ready to do. God, move by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, have your way in us and through us on today. God, give your people an ear to hear what it is that the Spirit has to say unto the church. Give them a heart and a mind to receive it and then to put it into action. The word lets us know that faith without works is dead, being alone. So we must be productive in the things that you continue to show us and lead us in and guide us. God, we thank you for everyone that is collected here. And we pray now, God, that you would meet every need. Fill every void in the name of Jesus. We give you glory. We give you honor. And we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, thank God again for each of you who are collected here. Amen. We want to go to Mark, the fourth chapter this afternoon. Mark chapter 4. And then put your bookmark there. We're also going to look at Mark chapter 5. Amen. Want to make sure that we get an understanding of what it is that the Lord is saying on today. Again, we're going to start at Mark chapter 4, and we are also going to read a portion of the book of St. Mark chapter 5. Amen. We're Bible scholars. We live by the word, so we need to know what the word says. And things are very easy now. You can pull it up on your phone. You can pull it up on your computers. You don't even have to thumb through the Bible. But if you have your old handy dandy, because sometimes that's the only thing I use, but if you have your old handy dandy Bible, then pull that out as well. But you want to put your eyes on the Word. And while we're reading and preaching and teaching today, you also want to hear the Word. And once you've got it, then you speak the Word, because the words that you speak are life. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. Amen. We're at Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse number 35. The Bible reads, I'm reading from NIV. The Bible reads, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall or storm came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples wake him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now look at chapter 5, verse 1. Amen. This is the follow-up of what happened after Jesus calms the storm. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, they went across to the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, which right now would be worth about $2 million. The herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. Hallelujah. Amen. We read Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 31. We also read Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 18. I want to use for a thought this afternoon. Jesus came because you are important to him. Jesus came because you are important to him. Sometimes when you're in a storm, you need somebody to holler at you and say, hey, you're going to make it through this. Hey, it's going to be all right. Well, how do you know? Well, because Jesus said, we're going to the other side. So you can't die in your storm. You can't die in this thing that you're going through, but you've got to make it to the other side. So often we question, will I survive what I'm going through? There is a more important question, saints of God, than will you survive? The better question to ask is, why did you survive the storm? Have you ever thought about how many things the enemy did, even early in your life, to try to stop you from having a relationship with God? Now, remember, looking at Mark chapter 4, this man has not even seen Jesus yet, but there is a storm that's sent to the Sea of Galilee to keep Jesus from getting to him. Now, you may be thinking, well, how do you know the devil started the storm? You may be thinking maybe it was just climate change. It could have just been bad weather that day, right? Well, we know because Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves. Jesus doesn't rebuke natural elements. He rebukes demons. Y'all got it? The same demonic oppression that was oppressing that man was in that sea trying to stop Jesus from getting to the man. See, you need to know that you were on the devil's hit list before you were ever born. He ain't your friend. He is your enemy. There were things in your family line, generational things, that were happening before you were born, that were designed to keep you from being in church at this very moment today. You need to look at your neighbor and say, you must be important. Because you see, in spite of all of the storms that had your name on them, in spite of all of the winds and the waves and the hurricane forces, in spite of every attack, every lie that was told on you, everything that you went through in childhood and in your teen years, look at you now in church and hearing the word of God. Look at you now, able to clap and lift your hands before God. Look at you now taking notes so that you can learn more about the word of God. Look at you now praising God. Look at you believing for a brighter day. Look at how far God has brought you. You must be important because you survived. Now all you have to do is thrive. Do you know how I know that you're important? It's not because of the car that you drive. It's not because of the house that you live in. It's not because I looked and checked to see how many Facebook friends or how many Instagram followers you might have. I know that you are important because of your storm. The size of your storm tells me something about your importance. The size of your storm lets me know the importance of your assignment. You see, the devil doesn't start a storm for somebody that he's not threatened by. Oh, glory God. If you are going through a storm right now, then there is something big on the other side. Hallelujah. You ought to high five somebody and say, you must be important. See, the enemy has been huffing and puffing, and he thought he would blow your house down. but the trial just serve to prove your foundation. Many of you feel that the storm meant that God had left you. But see, in this passage, as you look at the things that happened before Jesus arrived to deliver the man with the legion of devils, look at all that happened. God hasn't left you. He has a plan for you. If you're going through a storm right now, or if one happens to hit your house on Monday morning, I want you to know the storm is a sign that grace is on the way. Oh, glory. The storm is a sign that help is on the way for you and your family. The storm is a sign that hope is on the way. Oh, glory to God. The Bible says the storm came up suddenly. Now, we've looked in Mark the 4th chapter, and we also looked at Mark the 5th chapter. So the moment Jesus started in the direction of the man that he was going to help, here comes a storm. Not because God wasn't with him, but precisely because he was headed in the man's direction. Somebody needs to know today that he is on the way. Hallelujah. See, some of y'all can't stop talking about other people. Some of y'all have some ugly activities and things that you do in secret. Let's be honest. Jesus knew the man was crazy when he got on the boat. It didn't stop him from coming. Jesus knows your problems. Isn't that good news? You see, the man said, I am legion. A legion is 6,000 foot soldiers. That's a whole lot of demons. Jesus said, what's your name? Well, you know my name. Do you know yours? Do you know who you are? See, the man knew who Jesus was, but he wanted to know if the man knew who he was. Many of us act like we don't know that we have some of the problems that we have. Many of us act like we don't know that we have some of the issues that we have. Many of you have different personas for different activities. There are many of you, too. There's online you. There's Sunday morning you. There's Friday night you. There's work you. There's church you. But there's also gossiping you and lying you and jealous you. But Jesus knows all about our issues. Now, don't make me interview your spouse or your kids, please, because if we give them the mic and ask them how you act at home, it might not be consistent with the way that you act in church or around the church folks. There is a you that only they know. There is a you that only you know. There is a you that cries out day and night. You might not cut yourself with stones like the man did who was sitting in the tombs chained up. But sometimes you inflict pain on yourself by your actions or by your uncontrolled negativity, and you can't stop it by yourself. You don't even know why you keep pushing people away. You've been living among the tombs for so long, just like this man called Legion. Somebody's tomb is the brothel. Somebody's tomb is the club or the bars. Somebody's tomb is the mall. Somebody's tomb is pornography. Somebody's tomb is addiction. Somebody's tomb is greed and selfishness. Somebody's tomb is inconsistencies in your walk with God. Somebody's tomb is the crowd that you hang with. Somebody's tomb is your mind and the entrapment of mental illness. And you'd be surprised how quickly the demons run up to Jesus. Those demons ran before Jesus and fell before him and said, don't make us leave. We don't want to leave. We like it here. We've got it like we want it here. We've got these people on lockdown. They knew this man was important to Jesus, and they knew that they were about to have to vacate the premises of this man's personality and his psychology, from his mind, from his spirit. They knew they had to leave. They knew they had to immediately leave this man alone, holistically, spirit, soul, and body. They knew someone was strong enough to subdue them and had finally come, had finally shown up in the region of the Gerasenes. Now, you've tried everything else, and you have run to everybody else. But I declare today that you are in the presence of a greater grace. What works couldn't do, and what the law couldn't do, and what chains of bondage couldn't do, and what shackles couldn't do, God is about to do in your life, because grace can do what chains cannot do. Hallelujah. You see, the pigs are also an important part. Some of you may be wondering why the demons wanted to get inside the pigs. On the surface, please understand that the devil never wants to give up any territory once he's established a foothold. He doesn't want you to be the first one in your family not to need a drink to feel good about yourself. He doesn't want you to be the first one in your family to be able to be stable in a relationship or to stay in a marriage rather than running around with a bunch of people. He doesn't want you to be the first one in your family to graduate from college or to make six figures. What does he want then? He wants to stand guard in the area of your life to keep you hindered. Know this. The enemy is smart. He's cunning. They know how to get information. The enemy knows how to accomplish a purpose. And guess what else? He knows what's valuable to you. Hear ye the word of the Lord today. The word that you resist is the one that you need. Jesus is in our midst right now, people of God. The presence of God is here with us. The power of our mighty God is in this moment in time with you. So Jesus tells the demons, you have to go. Let that man go. Let that woman go. He is important to me. Jesus is saying, I went through the storm to get to him. I went through the storm to get to her. I went through the thunder and the lightning to get to them. I went through buckets full of water and hurricanes and all kinds of wind and all kinds of things happening. I bailed out Peter's boat to get to him. I came 2 hours across the Sea of Galilee, and I only have 3 years to change the world. So this man is very important to Jesus. I know everybody else had forgotten about the man, but Jesus hasn't forgotten about the man nor his issues. You need to know today that God has not forgotten about you. God has not forgotten about the things that you've gone through. God has not forgotten about all the crazy things that you've had to deal with in your lifetime. So let me say this. If he went through the storm for this man and he went to the cross for you, how valuable must you be to God? How much is your life worth to God? Jesus said, okay, you can go into the pigs. And the demons went into the pigs. And they made the pigs drown because the demons know two things. First, pigs can't swim. But we all know that. What did the demons know that we don't know? Could it be that the demons understood that the people in the region care more about the pigs than they did about the man? This is 2,000 pigs. This represents a significant part of the portfolio of these big pig owners. This is a region that's known for raising pigs. So in essence, sending the demons to the pigs messed with their money. He messed with their livelihood. He messed with their stuff. So what does the enemy attack? He attacks whatever you value the most. If that's your family, that's what he'll attack. If it's your job, that's what he'll attack. If it's your mind, that's what he'll attack. If it was your degrees, your education, your titles on your job, that's what he'll attack. Amen. Yes, he sees what you value. Yes, he knows how to hit you where it hurts the most. That's why he'll use people to get to your relationship with God. What's really most valuable is your relationship with God. But he knows if he can get people to offend you, you will not do what you are supposed to do. You'll do the same thing that those people did. You want to send Jesus away because you were offended by people. He knows where to hit you, people of God. The enemy knows what he's doing. His goal is to pull you away from your relationship in Christ. He knows where your insecurity is. He knows your playlist. He knows what you say to yourself and about yourself and what you think when you look in the mirror. He knows your proclivities, your perversions. He knows what makes you feel ashamed. So he hits you there to make you lash out in anger. He knows how to keep you bound. So since he couldn't stay in the man, the demons went into the pigs. If I kill the pigs, then they'll send Jesus away. The people will be sick and tired of him and they'll say, oh, no, you've got to go because you mess with our money. He did the same thing with Job. Well, let me hurt Job. This is when the devil had a meeting with God. He said, I've been going to and fro looking for somebody to devour. Y'all do know that that's what he does. He goes to and fro as a roaring lion looking for somebody to mess with. But in this case with Job, God said, have you checked out my boy Job? Job is a bad dude. Job is a faithful servant. Job is a consistent follower. And so the enemy said, well, he's only serving you because his herd is still intact. Let me touch his body. Let me touch his children. Let me mess with his wife. Let me touch his money. I'll bet you he won't serve you then. People of God, the enemy will use anything to get to your faith. What he's after is your relationship with God. He wants you to burn in eternity because he's going to. He doesn't want to go by himself. So he wants to pull you away from the things of God. He will use what you value to get you to push away the presence of God. He knows where you're vulnerable. Guess where you're the most vulnerable? Wherever you place the greatest value. These pigs were worth $2 million in money today. So he said, if I can get into the pigs and make the pigs drown in the water, the people will be afraid and angry because they lost what they valued. They lost their pigs. And then they'll send Jesus away, which is ultimately what the enemy wants to do. He doesn't want you closer and closer to Jesus. He wants you drawn away of your own lust. I wonder where the enemy has attacked you. I'll bet it was in the place of your greatest value. But guess what? I've got good news. He only attacks what's valuable. So if he has attacked you lately, guess what that means about you? You must be important to God. The enemy knows about your destiny. There must be something on your life because God keeps coming to see about you. God said some of you are breaking generational curses and you don't even know it. That's why it's been so hard and that's why it's been so strong and that's why you've been going through seems like one thing after the other and then something else and something else and they almost seem compiled. That's why things have been so hard. That's why it's been so dark and that's why you've been so heavy and that's why you've been so lonely. Because you're so strong when you're on point. You're so positioned when you're in Christ. And you're so important to the purpose of God in the earth. God has purpose on your life. Many of you know that this story ends with the man being set free and with the people around him being amazed. Well, there are people around you that have become comfortable and accustomed to seeing you with your problems. There are people who have become accustomed to seeing you with your issues. They've gotten comfortable with you hanging out in dead places, just like the man did who hung out in the tombs. But I want you to know this afternoon that Jesus said, I come so that you might have life and that more abundantly. So get yourself together. Hold your head up high. Stop concentrating on the mistakes of your past. Stop concentrating on who didn't support you. Stop worrying about coulda, shoulda, and woulda. Amen. Get your mind on Jesus because you are important to God. Hallelujah. And I want you to know that God is coming to see about you. In fact, he is here right now. Can you feel his presence? Can you feel his presence all around you now? No more sleepless nights. No more heartache and pain. God is restoring you even as we speak. And he's restoring you with more than what you lost. Get ready. Get ready, people of God. You are important to God. You may think that you are not important to anyone, but I want you to know this evening, you are important to God. You don't have to sit there and continue to be broke, busted, and disgusted. The presence of the Lord is here, and he's willing and he's able to help you. The presence of the Lord is here, and he's got some things for you that you've been needing for a very long time. Wherever you are right now, as long as you're not driving in your car, just begin to lift your hands to God. Concentrate on Jesus. Begin to see yourself free. Begin to see yourself handing your issues over to God right now. See yourself healed. See yourself delivered. See yourself debt free. See yourself walking out of your chains. See yourself walking out of the shackles that had you stuck. See yourself leaving your grave clothes behind. Now see your joy. See your peace. And stop looking back at the graves where you used to hang out. You are important to God and to the rest of the body of Christ. So get back to your rightful place, operating in the areas where you've been called, anointed, and appointed. And not only did Jesus come for you and you who are under the sound of my voice right now, but Jesus came to seek and save the lost. So if you haven't confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are the lost and he came for you. I'm so glad that one Friday evening on a hill called Calvary, Jesus gave his life for your sins and for mine. He was wounded for our transgressions. Oh, glory God. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed, spirit, soul, and body. Glory to God. But that's not how the story ends. Because 3 days later, he rose again. What did he do? He got up. And he got up with all power in heaven and earth given unto him. Clap your hands right now wherever you are and praise God. Give God some praise just for who he is. Give God praise just because he is faithful. Give God praise because he forgives your sins and your iniquities as well as mine. Give God praise because he came to see about you today. Just because you thought it was over, just because you thought you didn't have any other choices, just because you were ready to throw in the towel, just because you were ready to turn and walk away and avoid the saints of God. I want you to know today that Jesus is here. And you need to know today that Jesus came because you are important to him. Come on, clap your hands. Clap your hands and give God some praise. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for everyone that is collected here on today. If you came in late, please go back and listen to the message from the beginning so that you can get the entirety of the word on today. It's also necessary to go back and listen to the message sometimes so that it helps to soak in what it is that the Lord is saying on today. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for everyone that's collected here. Come on, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you now, God, for my brother and my sister. I thank you, God, for a move of your spirit on today. I thank you, God, for giving them a fresh touch, a fresh anointing, for revitalizing, God, for refreshing and renewing. We thank you now, God, that your word says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we understand that when we change our mind and we put on the mind of Christ, we are renewed. When we call on the name of Jesus, there is no other name whereby men might be saved. So God, we call on your name right now. We call on the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, that your word says that every knee shall bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord. Thank you, God, for being Lord over our lives. Thank you, God, for coming to see about us today all over the world. Thank you, God, that you are sovereign, you are omnipotent, and you are omnipresent. That means that you can be with me in Mississippi and with my brothers and my sisters who are in Australia, who are in Chicago, who are in California, who are in Canada, who are in Africa right now, in Sweden, in Germany. Thank you, God, for all of our listeners, God, wherever they might be. Thank you, God, for being there with them. Thank you, God, for your saving grace. Thank you, God, for your healing power. And thank you, God, for reminding us that we are important to you. Every one of us. Every one of us has an assignment within the body of Christ. Every one of us should be an example of who we say we are as Christians in representing you, in representing your love, in representing your peace. So God, we ask you to forgive us for everything that we've done that's not like you, everything we've said, everything that you told us to do that we didn't do. God, forgive us. Continue to wash us and make us whole. And now, God, we go forth in victory. We go forth with joy. We go forth with love. We go forth in peace. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for how you've come to see about us on today. Thank you, God, for the move of your spirit. Thank you, Lord. Come on, saints of God, tell the Lord thank you. Never forget, it is not about you, but it's always about Jesus. Begin to thank him right where you are. Thank you, Lord. Give him praise. Give him glory. Give him honor. It's not about me and it's not about you, but it's about who Jesus is. He is our risen Savior. He is the reason that we have victory. He is the reason that we can lift up our heads. He is the reason that we can lift our hands in humble submission to him. He is the reason. Glory to your name, O God. Thank God for each of you who are listening. Amen. We count this prayer done by faith in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. We declare and we decree that it is so. Amen. Please be reminded to give of your tithes and your offering to this ministry. Thank you for those who've already done that. But if you want to give to this ministry, you can do so via Cash App at $CampbellMenInc. That's $CampbellMenInc. That's Campbell Men Inc. If you'd like to give via PayPal, you may do so at Campbell Ministries. Again, PayPal is at Campbell Ministries. Cash App is at Campbell Men Inc. I truly appreciate each of you who are here with us on this afternoon. And by way of announcements, on Friday and Saturday, April 12th and 13th, I will be in Houston, Mississippi, ministering there. I believe I minister on that Saturday. Amen. But please be sure to watch our Facebook page under Campbell Ministries or under the Charity Church Complex so that you know dates and times and locations of where I will be. But if you are local, please be sure to come out and support them along with me. Amen. I do have some other dates in May. I will be in Trinidad. So if you're in that area, I look forward to seeing you. Glory to God. Amen. And please continue, saints of God, to follow the ministry. Please continue to support the things of God. We have a work to do in the kingdom. We have a mighty work to do. So I pray that you stay tuned and hang in there with me. Continue to obey God. Continue to serve Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. Because he's the one we need. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter the car you drive. It doesn't matter how cute or fine you may be. But it's all about Jesus. It's never been about us. It's about doing the work of the Lord. It's about living our life according to his will and the purpose that he has vested in us. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, may God bless you and may God keep you, is my prayer.